very excited to be here, as you can tell. But thanks for coming. This is the third day of the conference, and I know that this is tiring a little bit sometimes, these things are, especially after all the fun night activities, and this is the first session of the day after the keynote, so I really appreciate you being here. But let's talk about SMBs. Before we start, though, I wanted to share a little story. I've been on a kind of personal discovery journey over the last couple years, and I realized that it's very important to me to make sure that I motivate and inspire people around me. And I'd like to challenge you all to do this one thing, to take down 6 actionable ideas that you will take home and apply. Okay? 6 ideas is not easy. I usually get 1 or 2 per session, but if you aim high, you're gonna get a couple at least, right? So a little about me. I have 15 years of marketing experience, all B2B. 40% of my career, I've been doing account-based marketing. 90% of my work experience is from inside SMBs, and it's 90% because it's only last year that I've been at Google, which is not quite small. And 3 companies that I worked at had a successful exit out of the last 4, and the 4th one is probably have one as well. Fingers crossed. What is Chrome Enterprise, you might wonder, because people usually know what Chrome browser is for a consumer, but Chrome Enterprise is basically a business version of the browser, Chrome OS, and the devices that come with it. Devices are Chromebooks, and they're pretty cool. I switched from Mac to one, and I love it. But Chrome Enterprise is very secure. It supports all kinds of businesses, from small to medium to enterprises, and we are all cloud workers, which I'm going to talk about in a little bit, and Chromebooks are amazing for that. Who do we target? We target small and medium businesses, and our average sales cycle is about 6 to 12 months, depending on the product, because we have different types of products, Chromebooks, Chrome licenses, Chrome devices, all kinds of meeting hardware and software. And number of average decision makers per SMB per org is 3 to 5. For larger organizations, it's 16, and it sometimes goes up to 700 decision makers. And this is an important point, because when you target 3 to 5 people, or sometimes 1 in an SMB, it's a very different story. And geo-targeting, we mainly go after English speaking, but sometimes we also localize some of the campaigns. Who are SMBs as we know them? SMBs are small and medium businesses with 1 to 1,000 employees. That's who we call SMBs, but I know the definitions vary. They range across all kinds of industries and verticals, but really most of them fall into construction, hospitality, retail, and health services. So you're probably here because you want to talk to them. Here's a little scale for you. There's over 30 million of SMBs in the US as of last year. And there's 18,000 enterprise businesses. So when you go after SMBs versus enterprise, what does it really mean? Not all of them are going to be perfect customers for you. They're just not. And here's why. Account targeting capabilities are limited for SMBs if you talk to different vendors. And what I mean by this is, for example, data enrichment, right? Smart forms. They will have mostly enterprise coverage, but not that much SMB coverage. You're going to have a lot of gaps in your data when you try to enrich it. And obviously, there's a lot of them. That's a challenge. How do you personalize to all 30 million of them? Or even 1 million of them? And cost to go after all of them, obviously, is too high. And of course, they have smaller buying committees. So when you go after enterprises and you do your usual ABM tactics, you are probably going to hit at least 10 to 15% of the decision makers. It could be 1 or 2 people, it could be 10, it could be 100. But with SMBs, you really can't miss that one person in the company that you are trying to reach. So here's how we solve this. We decided to understand who our primary SMB segments are and went after those by doing market analysis and segmentation study first. We're working on some pilots with predictive scoring vendors. And we decided to engage the segments that we found out through the research by using traditional ABM tactics. This is really the whole point of today. Account selection, when you talk about ABM, is essentially segment selection when you talk about SMBs. Just like you figure out who your target accounts are when you're talking to enterprises, all you need to do is figure out who your target segments are within small and medium businesses. This is the criteria that I like for selecting target accounts, and really it applies to SMBs and target segments as well. First, you look at the fit. This is your predictive scoring, this is your historic data, this is your demographics and geo-targeting. Then you look who's showing intent signals. But how do you know, right? Not all the data is going to be available for SMB. So here you kind of need to get creative. Intent can be shown when they come to your website, when they come to your event. It's really a lot behavior-based, a lot more behavior-based than for the data-rich enterprises. Relationship. Are they actually talking to you? Are they responding to sales emails, marketing nurture? And then engagement. Are they clicking on your ads? Are they coming to your events again? And yeah, so segments. How are segments different from personas? Segments are a group of audiences based on demographics, location, could be company age, could be software usage, could be whether or not they are using Hadoop vendors, for example. I've seen that before. For personas, these are specific people that you're trying to reach in your target segments in the companies that you're targeting. Some sample segments could be based on vertical firm sizes, firm ages. For example, it could be like a healthcare company that's under 5 years old that has 250 to a 500 employee range. This is pretty specific. You know the pain points that the segment would have. You know how to talk to them. Or it could be a manufacturing company that is maybe an older one. Maybe it's 25 years or older. Maybe they have close to 1,000 employees. And they have a very different, they're going to have a very different story from the other one, right? So those are segments. How do you use this information? Brand. Obviously, segmentation matters for brand in various ways, but my favorite brand these days is Play Shoes, if you guys are familiar with that. Not quite a B2B brand, but still, it's interesting. It's a kids' shoes brand, used to be. Started with high-end kids' shoes, very durable, very comfy. My boys love it. It's amazing. And then they're like, oh, there's obviously a need for adult-sized shoes, so they expanded and they added another target segment to go after, and they started making adult shoes. Well, guess who bought them? Me. But how? Why am I saying this, right? Why am I telling you the story? Before they added the adult segment to targeting, I only saw their ads on TV. They had celebrity speakers. They went after most likely stay-at-home moms in a well-off family. They were not on social media that much, not on LinkedIn at least. And then when they added the adult shoes, they're like, oh, high-tech people in the area, of course, are going to want these. So now they're all over the place. They're on LinkedIn, and I see their ads on Instagram, and I see them at events, even marketing events sometimes. And I bought their shoes from those ads. And then campaign strategy. Campaign messaging will vary depending who you're going after, of course, in the segments. The online experience will differ for them. You can personalize your website. You don't have to do it on a granular level as if you would for enterprise accounts. You can really do it by segment, right? When someone from your segment comes to your website, show them the case study from someone who looks exactly like them. Maybe a competitor. Maybe not. You can do verticalized events. Direct mail for those people. When you know who the decision makers are, you can do direct mail. Maybe you won't send something like a Chromebook, but you could do a plant, or whatever works for them. So once we figured out our target segments with the analysis, we decided to change how we approach campaigns. In 2018, we did message-centric campaigns, which were feature and benefit-based. For example, we have this program called Grab and Go. It's a loaner program for Chromebooks that any organization can get in-house and then have this loaner given out to their employees. We did a campaign just for that program. But this year, we know now who really our segments are within the SMB space. And we have user and final stage centric campaigns. What that means is we have an awareness campaigns for these users in this segment, and an awareness campaigns for these other users in this other segment, and then the consideration and then evaluation and conversion campaigns. And this allows us to test multiple messages within the same campaign, within the same kind of limited budget, believe it or not. Some sample channels that have worked well for us: paid social, paid search, especially with Google Ads Customer Match. Plug for Google, but I'll talk about that a little bit more. I used it before I joined Google, and I think it's an underutilized feature for ABM. For evaluation stage campaigns, it could be things like webinars, email nurture and content syndication. And then for consideration and conversion campaigns, again, go back to paid social, but do it differently now. They might be ready for a LinkedIn lead gen card at this point, right? Or they could do direct mail, respond to direct mail better when they know more about you. They will come to your events more readily. So tactics for campaigns: build out the database first, gather fit and intent data for accounts in your segments. When I say build out the database, you might wonder how, right? Because not many vendors are going to have the SMB data that you want. But this can be done multiple ways. There are actually different smaller vendors that specialize in very niche segments that do have the data for that. You can look into events or webinars with those vendors. For example, we did a campaign with Spiceworks, which is hitting our decision makers, which included an event, a webinar, a content syndication hub, and some lead gen. And we got amazing quality leads from them. You don't have to buy the data, you can just find it in other creative ways. For fit and intent, like I said, it's a little more difficult for SMBs to figure out when they're showing intent, but if they come to your website, chances are they're interested. They're doing their research. If they register for the webinar, definitely. Update your audiences on paid social and display campaigns. And you can do this on even the ABM vendors. Once you know your segments and you start populating the contacts in those segments, get those contacts into targeting, run some display with someone like Terminus or Demandbase. Run LinkedIn sponsored posts targeting your segment. Try customer match. I'll get back to that one in a second, but it's a neat feature, and you can do ABM on paid search. And of course, focused content syndication. There's a bunch of vendors that I personally like and have worked with in the past that do really well for content syndication for SMBs and enterprises. And then direct mail. Once you talk to them, send them a note, automate it. When they get more engaged, send them something that they'd appreciate more, like a Chromebook sleeve or, well, that's just for us, but you might like that too. And then, very important, build out your inside sales function to support the same segments and the same verticals and to speak the same language as you do in your campaigns. For partner enablement, something that has worked well: when we build a campaign for a specific segment, we always include this thing called campaign in a box. And it's really low effort, but it gets huge results. You just create a few ads without your own logo, so the partners could just take and use them. Get HTML email templates for them. Give them some materials that they could repurpose and promote for you. And they'll be happy. Happy partners, more leads. I wanted to talk about this campaign. If you were at the awards show yesterday, you probably got a glimpse of this. But we did this cloud worker campaign last year, which was a multi-touch, multi-channel campaign going after a very specific segment. And that segment was the cloud workers. If you ever are on a plane doing work on your laptop, you're a cloud worker. If you are at an event on your laptop, you're a cloud worker. We're basically all here, cloud workers, and we work from anywhere, remote work, work from home. All of this is important. And we launched this narrative at Next, Google Cloud Next 18. We had sessions and part of keynote, and we wrote a blog post about it. We did paid ads with the same message, going after the same segment. And at the end of the year, we did a virtual event, which drove record number of registrations because people were already primed for this message. They knew what Cloud Worker was. And they're like, oh yeah, of course I'm going to go to a virtual conference that's Cloud Worker Live, of course. Why wouldn't I, right? Here's what the landing page looked like. Very simple. No form, no huge form. See that? I really don't like huge forms everywhere. I think people will give their information when they're ready to give their information and not before that. And if you try to force it, they're going to get annoyed and not talk to you. So be careful with that. And this actually has been a theme that I was glad to hear throughout this event this week as well. Here are some methods that we did. The blog post session at Next, not going to play it because it's 40 minutes long and we don't have that much time. And then the ads. So overall, this campaign has reached millions of targeted buyers within our specific segment. And we've built a custom demo experience at Next, which people loved. When someone came to our booth, they're like, oh, Chromebooks, but they're not good for engineering, right? And we're like, well, actually, if you want to see what that experience looks like, here's a demo station that you can come to and touch it and feel it and play with it. And it was very interactive and very popular, apparently. And then, like I mentioned, we drove a record number of registrations for our virtual conference called Cloud Worker Live. Check it out if you're interested. So before we move on, I need a break. I don't know about you, but let's do a little mindfulness pause. And for that, just take a few deep breaths. And thank yourself for being here, for making it to day 3 of this event, and for paying attention up through this point at least. Okay, moving on. So, I mentioned customer match before. I kind of want to take a look at it a little bit deeper with you all. What it is it's a feature in AdWords that not many people know about that lets you upload your custom prospect lists into paid search campaigns and target those people. So once you've built out your segments, once you have some data on who your decision makers are and how to find them, try it. You might be pleasantly and unexpectedly surprised at how it does. This is how it goes. It's pretty straightforward. This information is also available on the website. You can find it online. But if you are already running AdWords and you already know some of the people you're trying to talk to, this is a good feature to try for you. Here's how others used it. You may have heard of Hertz. It's a car rental company. Here's a quote from the director of digital operations. I'm just going to read it. Combining Google's audience solutions with automated bidding has expanded the amount of search volume we can profitably reach. This has been critically important as we continue to drive new customer acquisition. Music to my ears. They got 35% lower cost per acquisition, higher click-through rate, and lift on conversion rate. This is a large company, right? Do you think small companies could benefit from it too? Most definitely. Here's one, Finish Line. It's an online shoe retailer, and they tried customer match as well. You can read the quote if you'd like, but more impressive are the results, really. 2x increase in match rates with LiveRamp. LiveRamp is a data vendor that they also used. 235% higher CTR, and 72% higher return on ad spend. It's pretty amazing, I think. Not that I'm biased or anything. And then OneClick Ventures is another smaller company. They own the Sunglass Warehouse and a couple of other websites focused on sunglasses. They also tried Customer Match, and their results are even more impressive. I don't think I ever see numbers like this on campaigns. I mean, 1,500%, it just doesn't sound right. But they claim that they got that, and data shows that too. 410% increase in conversion rate and 200 higher return on ad spend. So if I got you interested in it, definitely check it out. If not, up to you. But first, figure out your segments and build out the data. So I challenged you to have some takeaways from this session. Just to make it easier, I decided to recap them for you. First of all, think of your SMB named accounts as segments, which essentially is a version of enterprise named accounts. Develop your segments, develop your personas. And if you can do a brand study or some more in-depth research study, maybe with a partner, maybe with a vendor, maybe do some focus groups. But really, this is important to get this part right. Try the segment-centric approach. Maybe you might have to think about restructuring how you do campaigns, but really, try it. And then once you know who your segments are, build out the database within your target segments. Find the right mix of channel for your audience. How do you find the right mix of channel? Test, test, and test. And that was all for my presentation today. But let me know if you have questions. We'd be happy to answer.
To hear it. Oh, yeah. You caught me off guard there. Sorry, I was typing. I saw a hand over here.
Thank you. This was a good presentation. What are you using to gather your intent data?
So for SMBs, it's a little more difficult. Like I said, it's more behavior-based indicators, like people who are coming to your website, to events, to content, that check out your content. In the past, I've used Bambora, and it has worked well.
So I like that you brought up first-party data as the first part of your answer. Mm-hmm. I think that's really interesting. I also like the customer match conversation, and I'm going to have to research more of that myself. Mm-hmm. Not that it's so self-serving with Google, but I think it's actually not many people talk about that. So it's a
exactly, and I used it even before I was at Google, and I liked it.
Excellent. That's a key point, I think, for all of us. Let me pass this back over here.
Hi, thank you for the presentation and the mindfulness time. You talked about partner enablement and campaign in a box. Mm-hmm. Can you give a little bit more color on that, like an example, and why a partner would do that and how they get the leads share?
Right. So we have a lot of reseller partners that we work with, and they want to promote and sell our products. They get some kind of rev share from that type of activity. So for them, we want to make it easy to promote our products. We actually go on site sometimes and train them on how to talk to their prospects. We give them this campaign in the box thing, which is templates for ads, emails, webinar presentations even sometimes. But it's basically a package that they get with all of this preset assets that they can use to promote our products, which they want to do because they get benefit from that.
Okay, while I'm handing this over to Kelvin here, I'm going to go back to the first party comment that I made a second ago. And that must be rather complex when you're dealing down in your CRM and other systems, because you just the sheer quantity of accounts. Tell me, can you share a little bit about that, how you manage, at a real tactical level, the data that you're moving around, and how successful do you feel at that, and do you have any best practice for us?
Right. Data hygiene is not easy. especially when you're talking about massive numbers of accounts and leads. But actually, when you think about it, the number of leads in your database is comparable to if you do enterprise marketing. So it's still the same marketing automation and CRM system, making sure everything is synced, making sure everything is routed properly, making sure everybody knows where their leads are and tracking religiously everything to campaign level lead source and UTM data.
Just one other point. Do you have a greater propensity for people to use non-business URL emails in SMB?
Definitely.
Email might be used a lot.
Yes, it is used a lot. And we can't really force people to give their business information. But like I said, when they're ready to share who they are and talk to you, they will do that anyways.
Can you speak to the number of accounts that you were targeting? Because it's obviously SMBs is a large number. Mm-hmm. So can you speak to the actual number? And then did you do any tiering of that number, like tiers A, B, and C?
I'm not supposed to disclose how many exactly we're targeting, but I can tell you an example of what it could look like. So for tiering, yes. Tiering is important because you can't really send direct mail to everyone at the same level, right? It's going to be too expensive. But for us, there are segments that we as a marketing team decide to focus first on. And then the next quarter, we might add a couple more, while sales is actually going after all of them at the same time and outbounding to them all. So yeah, tiering, yes, how many accounts that could be, depending on the segment really, what it is for you. But if you're going after a whole vertical, that's too broad, I would say. So you have to find ways to narrow it down and really zoom in on who's gonna buy within the vertical. And then if you do zoom in, let's say, like I mentioned, someone in healthcare to 50 to 500 employees that's in under 5-year-old company, then the account number becomes a little more manageable.
And a follow-up question, what was the partnership with sales like in terms of selecting the accounts? Did they have a voice in it? And how much say did they have in the account selection?
Yes, so two things here. One is they have their favorite accounts, which we let them pick because we love them. And two, we also help them by using predictive scoring and analysis on our historic data and recommending accounts to add to their list. So it's a collaboration for sure, and they have to buy into the accounts that we're recommending as well.
Any other questions? I wanted to say, let's give a big round of applause here. I think it was a fantastic presentation.